Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Sam, host of Open World, formerly known as Against the Grain, and we are back today. Oh, to chat about a whole bunch of new developments, fun things, and all this other stuff. It has been quite aggravating to even look at the news at this point, especially when you know what you know. And it's very, very frustrating. That's all I'm going to say. Incredibly frustrating that all these things are going so smoothly to plan. And not the plans that we want, though, but the people in power, I guess we could say, even though power is an illusion, the people in power are doing against us. So before we get into anything, we're always going to start off with some Am I the Asshole Reddit thread. Here's a good one. Close to 13 hours ago. Am I the asshole for ruining a guy's favorite spot? There's a small bar in my town I recently started going to. They have a trivia night Friday night. I started going a few weeks ago, and after my second week there, one of the regulars at trivia told me that trivia was something he had set up with the bar owner and I wasn't welcome. He doesn't work for the bar, so I told him he couldn't really tell me I was unwelcome. He explained that trivia night was a guy's thing and a safe space for them from judgment of women. I told him he shouldn't have it in public bar then. Last week, he left in protest of me being there, and his team was upset because they didn't do as well as usual. I told my boyfriend, and he thinks I'm being mean to the guy, and I should see his point of view. Maybe I'm a little cold-hearted, but I don't really care about that guy, even though he was there first. Okay. That's... okay. So response comment, I'm not the asshole. I think it's fair if men want to have their own space or whatever, but it's super weird to try and make a bar trivia night a guy's only activity. Yeah, I don't understand why he didn't just, like, have it at somebody's home or something. I don't know. That's kind of weird, but, you know, or have it like a club. I don't know. That's having it in a public space. I don't know, that's just kind of weird to me. Dude has, like, a lot of jealousy issues. But then again, like, who's to say that this woman wasn't going to be judgmental? Oh, that's just, I don't know. I'm going to agree with everybody here. Another comment. You want to work with your local bar to set up a guys-only trivia night, be my guest. That does not appear to be the case here. However, it would be a bar management to enforce it anyway. Not the asshole. OP has done nothing wrong. Yeah, I would just say, like, have it at somebody's house. If you don't want women coming over, then have it at somebody's house. Have it in a private location where that's not going to be a problem. Like, that's kind of fucking weird. And who's to say that this woman is going to judge anyway? Like, when you're already judging her by saying that she's a woman that's going to judge. Or at least I think she's a woman. I don't even know. She didn't even say what she was. Uh-oh. Here's another one. Okay. Am I the asshole for not letting my brother, his wife, and their toddler into my age-restricted restaurant? Well, no. If it's age-restricted, that's... okay, we're going to go on. I'm the owner of a small restaurant. After having multiple bad experiences with children in the restaurant and having customers and my team complain about said kids, I decided to enforce an age restriction. Kids under the age of 12 aren't allowed to enter the restaurant anymore. This rule might sound too harsh, but it had to be done. Ever since I enforced the age restriction, my restaurant has attracted more customers, and the atmosphere inside is way better. I still get a lot of backlash from angry parents, but most people in my area are surprisingly supportive. My brother lives in a different city and came to visit our parents and his wife and with their 4-year-old son. Today, they wanted to eat at my restaurant and brought their child with them. They knew about the age restriction, but thought I would make an exception because they're family. I explained to them that I would not make an exception because it's against my rules and it would be unfair to other parents. They got mad, but eventually left after trying to argue. My brother told our parents and other siblings what happened, and now everyone is sending me angry messages about it. At first, I didn't think I was wrong, but these messages are making me question, am I the asshole? Well, comment number one, not the asshole. If I went to a restaurant that I knew didn't serve children and walked in there and there was a child, I would be mad. If I found out that an exception was made for the family of the owner, I would be furious. And if that child ruined the enjoyment of my child's free meal, I would be incandescent with rage. I mean, you're that mad over a kid, but whatever. Somebody's got issues. You have a business, you made a business decision. Your family attended your business and expected you to make a personal decision in your business space. I'm just imagining all the crazies who are normally all my beloved Timmy wouldn't be misbehaved while Timmy is doing his best Godzilla impression. And they would do if they found out you had let any child in, especially if they misbehave. Not worth it. Rolling down for a minute here. Not the asshole. Don't mix business and family. Your brother is acting entitled and the rest of the family is attacking you. You are being ridiculous. The rule is there for a reason. You would be doing a disservice to your other customers. And another comment. You are not the asshole. Squared, doubled, factorial, even. It's always the same. There are 1,000 restaurants a family with children can go to in town, but because 3 restaurants are child-free zones, they scream oppression. As you've discovered or knew already, there's enough people who want to get away from any children while enjoying a night out to support multiple child-free places. I'm sure you've turned away disappointed family who wanted to bring their child in already. Why should your brother be treated any different? Yeah, I want to know what the hell is going on with these rules that people are just suddenly able to make child-free restaurants out of absolutely nowhere. I had saw somebody had posted there was some noodle spaghetti place or something today. I don't know, it was weird. The spaghetti restaurant decided because they had allegedly children that were like running around the waitresses and waiters and stuff, and children were just acting like a bunch of little like chickens flopping around and stuff, that they decided to make it child-free. Personally, I'm under the understanding that you can't really do that unless it's, like, actually, like, age-restricted, like alcohol, or if you have something like a liquor license or something. Personally, I think if it's open to the public, it should be open to the public. Age restriction, I find it really weird that I've had people argue that people are they're able to do age restrictions because children are not a protected class of person. But meanwhile, we have a whole court system set up and a child is a ward of the state, and they are a definition, which is, you know, a class of person, which is a ward of the state, or which can be a ward of the state if you aren't doing your parenting duties, which is also a class of person under the act, that they have a whole court system set up that is literally just for children. The family court system set up pretty much just for children. And you're going to say that, oh, they're not a protected class of person, so therefore we can discriminate against them by not letting them into the local noodle restaurant. But meanwhile, they got, like, you know, people who are specially hired to come snatch your fucking children away if, you know, you're not doing the best state parenting. I don't know. Personally, I think, you know what, dude is not the asshole in this situation, because if he does have a restaurant that is age-restricted, I don't really agree with that to begin with. But that's not just because I have kids. You know, if I didn't have kids, I would still not agree with that, just because I can see why people who don't have kids would enjoy it. See why certain people want certain things. And, you know, if they're going to do that thing, then, you know, whatever. I'm their business. At that point, it's like I'm not going to sit there and trying to take them down or cause them issues. I mean, if they let me in barefoot, I'm happy. But, no, if you have a rule about age restriction, again, I don't really agree with it, but if you've got a rule and then you let your family come in, that's just going to cause problems. They knew, they're just being entitled, and they can go somewhere else and have a hissy fit. So I'm kind of like sitting in the middle. Don't really agree with what he's done with the age restriction, but at the same time, based on his age restriction and him trying to be fair to everybody, including, you know, his own family, you know, they're just going to have to get over it. So in this particular circumstance, I rule not letting kids in, but whatever. That's his business. We'll do one more. Mm-hmm. What the hell is this? Am I the asshole for always guessing when my wife asks me to guess? My wife and I have been married for a while, and ever since we got married, she tends to ask me a guess what question whenever something crazy or funny happens. I have always been very literal and grew up with my dad, who was a lawyer, and mother, who worked in an engineering field. So I've always been held to a high standard when communicating with people. That is not super relevant, but what is relevant is whenever I was asked a question, I was expected to reply with an answer that was well thought out or my best guess if I did not know the exact answer. Fast forward to me now, I am happily married, and although we have our fights, I am secure and happy in a relationship, and my wife has communicated to me that she feels the same. But every time she has asked me a guess what question, I think through where she is, what she has planned for the day, and what we are planning on doing later, and respond with a guess, and unfortunately, I am usually spot on or very close, and my guesses make her super upset. She showed me several articles online about how to respond to someone when they ask you, guess what, and it's usually to say what and get excited. I like guessing, though, and enjoy thinking through the problem and getting the thing she's talking about without having her to tell me outright. And she says, I'm the asshole for this, but I want to see what you guys think. Am I the asshole? No, you're not the asshole. Fuck. So she's just like, oh, communication except for this one thing. Like, why would you ask him that? Okay, edit for those who care. The discussion of what was bothering her about my response happened early today, and I thought to post here and see what people thought. I have not been ignoring that she wants me to say and respond in a certain way, and of course I love her and would love to do anything for her. I not only care about myself, I honestly hadn't realized it had been bothering her, because sometimes she will do the same to me, and it's always a pleasant surprise for me when she is correct. My writing style is unique, and honestly, I don't know why I wrote things the way I do, but no, I'm not on the spectrum as many have asked me. I don't mean to come across as a self-inflated or an ass-headish as my post reads, but after reading through it a couple times, I do sound like an asshole. And sincerely apologize for your comments. I'm not a perfect person. I strive every day to become a better person and a better partner. I appreciate the kick in the pants most of you have given to me, and no, I'm not getting a divorce. TLDR, I do sound like an asshole. Sorry, guys. This entire post is so dramatic. It's not that you don't understand how to respond, guess what? It's that you don't want to respond that way. Blah, 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 about you being a literal person, your parents' occupations. Yeah, you're the asshole. Your wife has communicated that something is bothering her, and that's super easy for you to fix. And instead of fixing it, you log in Reddit and go around about how you say what because your upbringing grow up. Yeah, here's a good response. Isn't the easy fix to stop saying guess what? Two words and just say what she had to say instead of telling her husband how to respond. That sounds like a tad bit controlling, does it not? Yep. 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 No, I'm going to agree with that responder through and through. Sorry, I don't consider him the asshole, and it's kind of funny looking through these comments. Hold on, let's see if we can find another good comment here. Basically, the comments are like kind of 50-50. Like, why should she expect that he just says what? Like, no, I'm sorry. I'm going with Buddy here. Yeah, here's another one good. Oh, no, that's kind of all over the place. I'm not even going to bother to read that. Here's a good one. Obviously, the correct response is chicken butt, so they were both the asshole, just saying. Yep. 10 out of 10 response. I am going to go with that one. Both the asshole. Man, all these people are so fucking triggered over this. Like, here's a decent comment. ESH, because this is a stupid argument. Lol, on one hand, you could stop being so stubborn and change the way you answer. You're an asshole for not playing along with something so trivial, especially when she explained it to you what she's looking for. Alternatively, she could stop asking the question if she knows you won't respond the way she's asking you to. Holding you to a standard she knows you won't meet is just asking for disappointment. Holy fuck. Like, why would you even be mad over that? Like, if I asked somebody, guess what, and they guess what, I'd be, like, so into that. That would be freaking neat. The fact that, like, their brain is actually computing in a way that they're paying attention to me. The way they do, that's just ridiculous. Ridiculous. I'm going to rule not the asshole. And I don't care what people say. Do-do-do. I think we're good for that for today. But that was just ridiculous. Holy crap. So, we're going to pop over to Twitter here really quick. There has been so many crazy things going on Twitter this last little while. It's just been absolutely nuts. I have barely even been keeping up just because everything is switching and changing and everything so freaking quick. It's not even funny. You've probably heard about, oh, what is this? This afternoon, an object, I was literally supposed to talk about this, about the Chinese air balloon. Apparently, it was written in English. Apparently, there was English on the Chinese air balloon, allegedly. Allegedly. Justin Trudeau just posted this 4 hours ago. This afternoon, an object that violated American airspace was brought down. I was briefed on the matter and supported the decision to take action. Our military and intelligence services will always work together, including NORAD Command. To keep people safe. Oh, yeah. Keeping people safe. Hod Twins, what the hell got shot down over Alaska today? Some people are saying it's another balloon. Some people are saying it's just like a silver object. Oh, Tim Pool did a poll 22 hours ago. And I guess 54.7% of people said that he should retire. And now the quartering is being tagged. Everything is going AWOL. Project Veritas kicked out James O'Keefe over a bunch of nonsense. Everything is crazy. What is going on? Tim Pool has declared he wanted to retire from Timcast IRL. I'm pretty sure it was just a joke. People are saying that he's not open-minded, like Rogan. Rogan even really that open-minded? I don't even think so. Eliza Blue is being exposed as a grifter by the quartering. If you didn't know, Eliza Blue recently gained fame on Twitter and kind of had an in with the Twitter, how do I say this? Kind of had an in with the Twitter censorship team and recently got exposed as a grifter that is making up that she's trafficked because she was getting paid to make videos. Music videos where she's dressed up in a bathing suit. Now she's saying that she's being trafficked against her consent, which is bullshit. She was literally paid to do it. The company had literally exposed her. If you want to find out more, go watch The Quartering. The Quartering has been doing a lot of information sharing on stuff on that this last little while. Students are being assaulted left, right, and center. I'm literally watching a video right now posted on Twitter. Everyone condemns the assault of the black girl, Thomas Nevett College in Ashford. Meanwhile, I assume this disgusting assault from Oldham will be investigated with equal vigor by GMB Daniel Harry TV. Command Parliamentary Time by Janet Darby of the Condemnation of Local MP. A white girl is getting the shit beat out of her by a couple of black girls, all in uniform. You know, because if we're going to be talking about equality, we might as well like, make that fair. Twitter is just on fire right now. This is so exhausting. I'm not even lying right, you guys. I am just looking at this. I'm just like, I am just so freaking exhausted looking at all of this absolute trash nonsense right now. I'm going to be bringing something better quality here next week. I'm going to be going over the 48 Laws of Power next week. There's a book written by Robert Greene, and it is quite infamous with the celebrities and the psychopaths that are in jail. It's actually been banned from a lot of jails, if not all jails, because it's quite a popular read. And it's a very evil book. That's, you know, I often talk about things like manipulation and information and knowledge and how we need to utilize the occult knowledge that's out there, the knowledge of psychology and stuff that's out there to be able to uplift one another, to be able to help one another, to be able to essentially manipulate people into being able to think for themselves. I know that sounds kind of like really kind of, you know, almost in itself evil to say, and I can't really find another word for it other than manipulation, because, you know, it's a fairly adequate word, although it has a stigma. But I firmly know that we need to, especially for people that don't know, offer them the answers, but then at the same time manipulate them into manipulating themselves to regrow their neural pathways, to be able to heal themselves and utilize this knowledge for actually bringing forth a more positive, healthy human environment kind of thing. It's been mind-blowing this last week on Twitter, TikTok. So I've been getting on TikTok again. And I honestly, guys, like, I'm kind of like messed up a little bit at how violent and angry people are on TikTok, that you can make a video with three sentences and the amount of people that have come out of the woodwork just to like slam me and just be extremely derogatory has just been so incredibly mind-blowing. Especially, like, I would expect things like that from like people who, like, make profiles that get banned in 3 weeks, and then they make another email profile, and, like, people who have, like, you know, one follower, like, basically bots. Honestly, it wouldn't even surprise me if, like, half of these people commenting are frickin' bots, that they've got, like, you know, 1 to 20 followers, they've got no profile picture, they've got absolutely no content on their profile. People who are allegedly, you know, bigger profiles. That's the thing that really blew me apart this week, is to see people with bigger profiles and see people who are trying to make content that is supposed to be uplifting and supposed to be helping one another out. Like, this one lady had commented, and that's all she does is, like, share pictures, like, you know, workout video stuff and inspirational quotes, and she shared a picture of herself, like, before and after kind of thing. Like, oh, be happy, blah, 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 when she was working out. And, like, she came and just said, like, the dirtiest shit. Like, the absolute meanest thing. Like, just calling me down as a human being. And just absolutely mean. Hold on here. Just being absolutely mean. And then there was this other woman that had gone on her TikTok just, like, a week ago, not even, like, a few days ago, because she was just being mean to me as well. And, like, I went to her profile, and I was looking at her content. I actually kind of enjoyed her content. Overall, her content was pretty good. But then, like, I responded to her. I was like, hey, listen, you literally went on TikTok just a couple days ago bitching, whining, and moaning about how hard it is for women, and especially women with, like, little kids. Like, you were, like, crying to the world about how hard it is for women, then you're going to come on another female content creator who is, like, way smaller than you and, like, is just sharing information, and you're going to come be, like, a mean bitch like this? Like, what's going on? You know, like, what's up that, like, these big content creators with a bunch of these followers, and they're supposed to be having this positive, uplifting, motivational, you know, let's call out the crap and let's work together to find a solution kind of thing. Why is it that these people are coming on little content creators' posts and being so mean. Like, so mean. Like, why do you hate yourself that much that you need to show up on somebody's post that you don't even know? And you just have to, like, cut down their character. What are you getting out of this? Like, what is this, like, your get-off time? You know, and I say this almost as a hypocrite because there's been a few times about, like, you know, maybe once every month, couple months, I just get really peeved off. And I show up on, you know, strangers' profiles, and it's just, like, I see them commenting things, especially, like, in the spiritual community. That's what I'm going to rant about today, as I'm getting so sick of the spiritual community and the positive community and, well, you know, this toxic positivity nonsense that I keep seeing. Not like the actual true, like, you know, we want to, you know, find the positives for the negatives. And, like, you know, it's okay to feel the negatives. This is the one thing I hate about this toxic positivity crap through and through, is that a lot of these people, like, they just can't handle negativity at all. And, like, that's not to say that, like, we need to have negativity. Like, sometimes I can't help but wonder when we have, like, you know, ebb and flow, hermetic principles, principles of polarity, things like that, where we need to have negativity in order to be able to see where we've come, to be able to see where we're going. Do I think that's absolutely necessary in human growth? Well, that depends, because some people can be told one thing and they can just go ahead and not do that bad thing, whereas other people need to continuously mess their life up over and over and over in order to be able to learn a lesson to move forward. See, if we're here as energetic beings, and the whole point of this is to come here, learn the lessons, die, and then redo, and then learn the lessons again in order to share the knowledge and to share the information, you know, it's like I can see where there is a need for negativity, but I can also see why, you know, it's kind of hard and why I would rather not have to engage in that kind of stuff and stuff as well. Activity where you always need to ignore the negative. You can't talk about the negative. Always talk about something more positive, blah, blah, blah. It completely negates the point of being human. It completely throws the emotions under the bus. And it completely tries to cut out the middle where it's just all logic and action, logic and action. And, like, I don't think that's healthy. I really don't think that's healthy. I think being able to control your emotions, depending on circumstance, I think that's important. You kind of don't want to have, like, you know, a meltdown rage temper over absolutely, like, a you know, being charged an extra 3 cents over a freaking chocolate bar or something like that. Like, you got to chill out a little bit. But to experience emotions is to be human. I mean, people who don't experience emotions, they're called psychopaths. And they're, like, genuinely, there's genuinely something wrong with their brain. Like, truly, truly, there's actually something wrong with their brain. So that's kind of a thing. Oh, okay, we're going to take a quickie break, and we're going to be right back.
Freaks, outsiders, weirdos, the wallflowers, oddball loser, fish out of water, speak up, talk quieter. We are different. There's no arguing. It's a fact. Patchwork of flaws, we grow and adapt. We're funky, unconventional, see life through kaleidoscope eyes. In a field full of clovers, with our four leaves, we bask in blue skies. Flaws are natural. Our imperfections, our weaknesses, our scars. There is a misfit in all of us. We just have to be brave enough to embrace who we are.
Peace, what's up, y'all? This is Ninja Scroll. Check out my newest album, Renewed Mind, with songs like this. Solve Coagula. Solve Coagula. Tear down and rebuild the whole system. Vibra prophecy fulfilled. Snakes in the grass. In center position. We got snakes in the grass. Rally through the high pass. Traps all laid out. Avoid the bomb blast. I gotcha.
I got you right where I want you. Like a wrong line in the field, I stalked you. Creeped up on you, peeped on your aura. Laying in wait, ready to pounce on you. Once I get you, you'll be a goal.
Can you hear me now?
Hey, just all part of the game.
Sing this thing for so long, now it's time to open up your eyes. Look at how you're living, just to follow the world with Satan's.
And the new norms, the new world order. Yeah, go get yours right now at officialninjascroll.web.com. That's official, ninjascroll.web.com.
Trying to show you everything, but you ain't care. Got you running scared, it's fear that is the main weapon. Peace to the people that was always prepping. I'm stepping on toes trying to wake you up.
Imagine waking up in a trunk. What is grooming? What if I told you we had a 40% increase of human and sex trafficking in our country due to COVID lockdowns? We already had high numbers to begin with. One's Purpose is an amazing organization pounding the pavement every day helping these survivors get help. Unfortunately, they do not have the funding they need for a safe house. In the state of Oregon, we have zero safe houses for these survivors who have endured the most heinous of crimes. The time is now to get involved. The time is now to help stop human trafficking. Please go to onespurpose.com to get involved. If you need help and if you know someone who needs to get help, please contact 541-221-3448. Make a donation. Make a difference.
We all know that times are tough and things are really expensive right now, so why not save a little bit of your wallet as well as the landfill? Marty.com carries high-quality products at low, low prices, sometimes up to 70% off of retail. I just got a wonderful package of beef jerky for 1 cent sent to my house through Marty.com. Marty.com offers high-quality products at discount prices. Why? Well, sometimes products are seasonal or overstocked or packaging just changes. It's still great quality food, but it's going to end up in the landfill if we don't find some way to distribute it. And leave that to Marty.com. Now, if you want to save a little extra today, you can get $20 off your first order by going to our Facebook group for Dynamic Word Bible Studies and picking up a discount code there. So check out Dynamic Word Bible Studies at Facebook and find Marty.com on our comments. You'll be able to get this free discount code. It's going to give you $20 off, and it's also a great way to support our show and to keep those landfills light and to save some money in your wallet. And I'm all about saving money. So check out Marty.com.
Do you want to hear the truth about New York State and beyond? I'm Diana.
And I'm Dean.
Join us Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. until 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we'll talk about everything New York State and beyond.
Yeah, nationwide news and local news and the tyranny that's going on here in New York State and what the Democrats are doing across the country, too.
We're going to talk about just about everything. Join us Thursdays, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, D&D, delivering the truth in New York State and beyond. See you then.
Sometimes as a Christian, it can be really hard to continue to find joy in our daily disciplines, even in biblical word Bible study. Honestly, we know we're supposed to find joy in it and get growth. That's why I named my new show Dynamic Word Bible Studies, because studying the word shouldn't leave you unchanged. It should provide dynamic growth through your life and the power of God encountered every day. I'm really excited to start this on Wednesdays from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio. We're going to start out with the book of Romans, one of the most important books to my early Christian walk. So whether you've been a Christian for a long time or you're just learning about Scripture, this is going to be a great place to learn what it was that Paul was trying to tell the Church of Romans and the things that are important to us still today. Again, join me every Wednesday from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio for Dynamic Word Bible Studies.
Hello, everybody. We're back. Had to take a mini to deal with some tech issues. We are back here, and this is Open World. We are having a scrappy fun time chatting about having a quick chat with some Freedomizer hosts here, a little bit of tech issues. So we're back, and just kind of scrolling down Twitter, just kind of, you know, crap-talking spiritual gurus and positive influencers who really do not take accountability for their own actions, for their own words, that they're really nice and positive on their platforms, but to other people, they're not quite so nice, which is disappointing. Hold on one second here. There we go. Okay, here we go. So, yeah, we're going to be going over the book, The 48 Rules of Power, here next week. I'm going to take and dive pretty heavy into that book this week, because I think with the amount of people right now that are either abusing or know that they're being abused, I think it's important to go over the tactics of the abusers and start to bring this kind of light, this kind of information forward, that people need to know what kind of situations that they're being put in that are manipulative situations, that they have the power to be able to identify a situation that they're in, which, of course, will be made easier when people actually do healing with themselves. And I think going forward, we might also be putting some meditative material on top of, like, Am I the Asshole? We might just go through and do a meditation with you guys every Friday if there's no guests or any, if it's just me, I think we might do that. Start helping you guys heal from your own trauma, because, like, let's face it, like, everybody has trauma, and everybody's trauma is most certainly valid. And here's the interesting thing about trauma is it's not just the trauma that you inherit. It's a lot of trauma that is going on behind the scenes genetically as well. And you can see a lot of, but if, what's that book called? It Didn't Start With You. I'm pretty sure that's the book. Let me Google it here quick. I think it's It Didn't Start With You. Mark Wolin. This is an incredible book. Mark Wolin, It Didn't Start With You. In fact, I think I'm going to go over this book. I'm sitting here making a list right now because I'm going to be going over the 48 Rules of Power. I'm going to be going over the Body Keeps Score, It Didn't Start With You, going over Carla Emery's, what's that book called again? Secret Don't Tell. Going over a bunch of these books, I think people, like I said, people need to start learning about manipulation, propaganda. I want to go over Eddie Bernays propaganda, manufacturing consent. That's another good one. Because if you're not going to be giving the state the power, if you're not going to be giving the elite the power to control you, you need to know how they're controlling you in the first place. And they've made it very clear on a bunch of their tactics. Some of their tactics are a lot more underhanded. Yuri Bezmenov talks about things like subversion, and how they're able to subvert people using those kinds of means to essentially take over the government without having to fire a bullet. And once upon a time, you know, when we actually did have different governments and stuff that were of different, you know, agendas and control and et cetera, versus now where we have all the government and they're all meeting together at the World Economic Forum, at the UN, and they're all playing us like a bunch of fools, to put it nicely, while they're all on the same team. This is all a collaborative effort to get us under control and get us in their, what people are saying is a spiritual war, but it's to get us under control and get us enslaved by these people at the top. And I want to bring forward to you guys something that I learned this week. I mean, I knew a little bit about Chinese history, but, you know, the more you learn about history, and that's another book we're going to go over here in the near future as well, Leadership by Henry Kissinger, which was written in either April or March 2022. Strongly recommend you read that book, because when the people at the top write books to tell you how things are going to be, strongly recommend you pay attention, because they're the ones with all the power and the influence, because we've given them that power and influence in order to be able to control us. So I learned this week, you know, the Great Leap Forward, what it was, the goals and the impact of the Great Leap Forward. And for everybody that has been talking about, especially on TikTok and Twitter and all these social media platforms, and I, honest to God, like I said, I swear these people are just bots, because there's no way human beings can really, truly, honestly be this ignorant on so many levels that they can't even do a quickie Google search and realize this is all just a really bad idea. The Great Leap Forward. This was done in the 50s and the 60s, and like 30 million people during the Great Leap Forward. So I found a little website here. This is investopedia.com, and we're going to go over a little bit of the Great Leap Forward. This was reviewed by Michael J. Boyle. Again, this was on investopedia.com. So it's called The Great Leap Forward, What Was It, Goals and Impact. What is the Great Leap Forward? The Great Leap Forward was a five-year plan of forced agricultural collectivization and rural industrialization that was instituted by the Chinese Communist Party in 1958, which resulted in a sharp contraction in the Chinese economy and between 30 to 45 million deaths by starvation, execution, torture, forced labor, and suicide out of desperation. It was the largest single non-wartime campaign of mass killing in human history. And this was just when it was actually taking place. There was the collectivization of farms and stuff up to this point. This is just when the nitty-gritty actually happened. If you do any sort of, like, study into this, you'll see that, again, like, you know, they started just like Holodomor, where they started kicking the rich people, the rich farmers and stuff off their land. They already had, like, been getting, you know, pulling people off of the rural communities and put them into essentially 15-minute cities. So if you're listening right now and you're sitting here scratching your head, not sure which head you're scratching, but you might want to figure out which one. Scratching your head, I don't understand how 15-minute cities apply to communist China. This is how, guys, this is how. If you don't want to look at, like, the reservations on Canada as another prime example, or Holodomor as another prime example, this is the one where it's not just on Holodomor where they were taking the food away from Ukrainian peasants after arresting the kulaks and sending them off to work camp because they didn't like rich farmers. They literally pulled farmers off their land and put them into state-ran farms of like 20,000 people, okay? This is the 15-minute city. This is what happens when you have a government-run 15-minute city. Let me tell you what happens when you have a government-run 15-minute city. Here we go. The initiative was led by Mao Zedong, and also known as Mao and Chair Mao, Mao's official goal was to rapidly evolve China from an agrarian economy into a modern industrial society with a greater ability to compete with Western industrialized nations. This is just so upsetting to read. Understanding the Great Leap Forward. In 1958, Mao announced his plan for the Great Leap Forward, which he laid out as a five-year plan to improve the economic prosperity of the People's Republic of China. He devised the plan after touring China and concluded that he felt the Chinese people were capable of anything. And they are. They're an incredibly intelligent. That's not to say that any one culture, nation of people is any less smarter than another, unless, of course, you're doing a really crappy job educating the children, or they're really badly inbred or something like that, because that is a thing, too. That was probably really crappy to say, but it's true. Look it up. That's actually a reason why they don't want you marrying and producing children with your first cousins or your siblings, is because it can severely impact IQ and as well as overall health if you make it. So Chinese people, these people are absolutely, they're such hard workers. They are so intelligent. They're just awesome people. I love their culture. I love just China in general. I got virtually no complaints about anybody from China. In fact, a lot of people come to Canada and get the hell away from China because they can see the nonsense of the government that's happening there, and they don't want to deal with that. So they move to places like Canada where they can actually be themselves and be intelligent, hardworking people and get to experience freedom. I mean, what was freedom? Now we have C-11 and shit coming on the tubes. So I don't know how much longer I'm going to be doing Radio with Freedomizer Radio, not because I want to quit, because if the C-11 crap continues to happen, I may very well be axed by the Canada that I might not even be allowed to do a radio show. So unfortunately, as sad as that is, I'll keep you guys updated with that. But we'll have to see how these things go. We'll figure it out, but we're just going to see how things go. In 1958, Mao announced his plan for the Great Leap Forward. Okay, we read that. Overall, the plan was centered around two primary goals, collectivizing agriculture and widespread industrialization, with two main targets, increasing grain and steel production. Agriculture. Private plot farming was abolished and rural farmers were forced to work on collective farms where all production, resource allocation, and food distribution was centrally controlled by Communist Party. Geez, isn't that what's happening with the farmers in, the Netherlands right now? Geez, that sounds pretty fucking familiar. Large-scale irrigation projects with little input from trained engineers were initiated, and experimental, unproven new agriculture techniques were quickly introduced around the country. Now, I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing to have new agricultural techniques introduced as, experiments. But when you introduce those as a means of saying this is how it's going to be without it actually being proven, that's just a really bad thing waiting to happen, especially when you've been doing things that have been proven for years. Back in 1958, it's not like they had farming now. Back in 1958, you grew the way that, people had been growing things for millennia. These innovations resulted in declining crop yields from failed experiments and improperly constructed water projects. I did see a video that, apparently they were, planting everything too close together, and they were planting, 5 feet down or something. I don't even know if that's accurate. I don't even think that's possible to plant seeds 5 feet down to have them grow. I think that's a whole lot of BS. But even, a foot down is still too deep. Continuing on, a nationwide campaign to exterminate sparrows, which Mao believed incorrectly were a major pest on grain crops. Apparently they had people walking around and banging pots together and shooting the sparrows and all this other stuff. This resulted in massive locust swarms in the absence of natural predation by the sparrows. Grain production fell sharply, and hundreds of thousands died from forced labor and exposure to the elements on irrigation construction projects and communal farming. Famine quickly set in across the countryside, resulting in millions more deaths. People resorted to eating tree bark and dirt, and in some areas to cannibalism. Again, that sounds a whole lot like Holodomor. Farmers who failed to meet grain quotas tried to get more food or attempted to escape or tortured and killed along with their family members via beating, public mutilation, being buried alive, scalding with boiling hot water, and other methods. So it's not really talking about how they got everybody onto these farms. I did watch a little quickie video before I read this article. So essentially at the beginning, they basically took everybody off the land. They put everybody into these collectivized areas, these 50-minute cities. They gave them everything they needed. And they, like, when I tell you that they, like, took everything away from your personal individual as, like, they could. They even, like, I was watching a video. In fact, you know, I'm going to find that video and I'm going to play it for you guys. They even took, like, people's, how do I say this? Like, their cooking utensils, their pots and pans. They took literally everything away that was personal. Everything. If it had to do with, like, cooking or farming or anything like that, they took everything away from you. Put you in a 15-minute city, a commune, and made women work together doing the cooking and the cleaning. They took children away from the parents and had the state raise the kids to essentially what they say is relieve the burden of parenting so that the collectivists go work in the field. And they had these special little areas where the elderly could go. Basically, they were like, if you were able to work, you were made to work. If you worked, you were given points that you could use to spend. In fact, they even took money away at one point. A lot of places didn't even have money. You were given work points that you could spend. And if you didn't work, you had your points reduced that you couldn't spend on food. So all these people in the very beginning, they all worked hard. They were given a whole bunch of food. They were allowed to eat as much as they want. It was basically like heaven. We can work all day. We don't have to worry about absolutely nothing. We don't have to raise kids. The state's raising our kids. We can just work and enjoy our life and blah, blah, blah. That, however, started changing when the experimental agriculture started to fail, when they were taking the grain quotas and stuff for the urbanization and leaving the farmers and the peasants, you know, with absolutely nothing. And it just ended up being absolutely just trash. The entire plan completely imploded. And in fact, I'm going to find a quick video that I uploaded to Odyssey here, and I'm going to play this to you. It had some interviews in it talking about the kinds of things that they had to deal with this, the Great Leap Forward. Give me one second here. Just going to my Odyssey here to find it. Uploads.
1955 to 1962, known as the Great Reset in China, of course, and literally mirrors the Great Reset almost to a T, minus the biometrics technology and AI. So the slogan for the Great Leap Forward was the Chinese three red banners. Same three red banners we see lots of people using in their ease, from Biden to Winston Sears to the Freedom Phone to Tesla, and called on the Chinese to build a socialist state. Private property was abolished. You'll own nothing to be happy. All farmland was seized. Only the government could provide food. They forced people into state-run, government-ran communes, which were basically 15-minute cities that they're building now, again, minus the technology and the AI that they have. So the Great Leap Forward, and I love the greats, right? Great Depression, Great Awakening, the Great Famine, the Great Dying, the Great Reset. Everything's fucking great with them. But the Great Leap Forward shares many other similarities with the Great Reset. There was universal basic income. There was a social credit score. There was a manufactured food crisis. Only the government could hand out food. They called it the Great Famine of 1955. Interestingly enough, they blamed the famine on bad weather. Kind of sounds like the climate change rhetoric of the Great Reset. And what do we see now? The food supply under major attack. We know that manufacturers' food shortages, crises, supply chain breakdowns are all part of the reset. So as I began to research the Great Leap Forward more, it became abundantly clear that this was a dry run, trial run, you know, live action role play of the Great Reset.
The People's Commune will be the bridge that will carry China towards the socialist paradise. The Commune experimented with a completely new way of life. All private property was abolished. Houses, animals, land, and production tools became collective property. Nursery and free, compulsory schools liberated women from their maternal duties so they could work in the field. The family unit disappeared, and children were made to live by the new rules of collective life. The individual was nothing more than a cog in a big machine.
The furniture was seized for firewood, and everything that could be destroyed was destroyed. The pigs, sheep, everything was collectivized. Even the pots and pans were seized because families weren't allowed to cook.
The aim was to force the peasants to take their meals in the commune's collective canteens. In some of them, they even abolished money. A system of work points was established. Food was distributed according to merit, i.e., each person's capacity to fulfill the production objectives. The notion of wages disappeared.
It was compulsory to turn up every day. If your name wasn't on the attendance list, you were punished and you lost work points. The fewer work points you earned, the less food they gave you. Oh, it was miserable. I can tell you that life was brutal for everyone at that time, except the cadres. Those people lived well.
From 1958 onwards, the cities are quite literally protected from the countryside. People are not allowed to just move about freely. A farmer who brings a cow to the market will need to travel with a permit from his local carver. People who try to flee the countryside are sent back.
I sent that, or I shared that on Odyssey. TikTokers share the Great Leap Forward. I think this is something that everybody needs to pay attention to. Like Henry Kissinger is saying, it's one thing to know science to be a great leader, but in order to have power and influence, you need to know history. And if there's a reason why they didn't teach that stuff in schools. They taught Nazi Germany in schools. They taught, you know, the Holocaust in schools. They didn't teach all of the facts of the Holocaust in schools because it's a lot of things that they taught about the Holocaust that were either not true or were fudged slightly, or they just omitted things altogether. But they said nothing about Holodomor, and they sure as hell did not say anything about the Great Leap Forward back when I was in school, for sure, for sure. Continuing on with this article. Industrialization, large-scale state projects to increase industrial production were introduced in urban areas, and backyard steel furnaces were built on farms and in urban neighborhoods. Steel production was targeted to double in the first year of the Great Leap Forward, and Mao forecast that Chinese industrial output would exceed Britain's within 15 years. The backyard steel industry produced largely low-quality pig iron. Existing metal equipment, tools, and household goods were confiscated and melted down to fuel additional production. So, yeah, that's where they were saying that they were literally taking everything that was extra that they didn't really need within the commune, so to speak, and using it, and they were getting farmers who were not skilled in steelmaking at all to make this crappy steel that basically just ended up sitting there and rusting anyway. So due to the failures in planning and coordination, the resulting material shortages, which are common to central economic planning, the massive increase in industrial investment and reallocation of resources resulted in no corresponding increase in manufacturing output. Millions of surplus laborers were moved from farms to steelmaking. Most were men, breaking up families and leaving the forced agricultural labor force for the collective farms, consisting of mostly women, children, and older adults. The increase in urban populations placed additional strain on the food distribution system and demand on collective farms to increase grain production for urban consumption. Collective farms officials falsified harvest figures, resulting in much of what grain was produced being shipped to cities as requisitions were based on official figures. This is also important to note that throughout the Great Leap Forward, while millions starved to death, China remained a net exporter of grain as Mao directed grain exports and refused offers of international food relief in order to convince the rest of the world his plans were a success. The impact of the Great Leap Forward ended up being a massive failure. Tens of millions died by starvation, exposure, overwork, and execution in just a few years. It broke families apart, sending men, women, and children to different locations and destroyed traditional communities and ways of life. Farmland was damaged by nonsensical agricultural practices and the landscape denuded the trees of fuel and of steel of the steel furnaces. 30-40% of housing stock was demolished to obtain raw materials for collective projects. In industry, massive quantities of capital goods and raw materials were consumed in projects that yielded no additional output for final goods. The Great Leap Forward was officially halted on January 1961 after three brutal years of death and destruction. What was the purpose of the Great Leap Forward program? The Great Leap Forward was a relatively short-lived effort by the communist regime of China to modernize its rural and agricultural sectors through collectivism and industrialization. All of this is just basically repeating the same shit that was just said, but essentially it was a complete and total failure. When you force people to produce and you take away the production, the fruits of the labor from people, after you pull a bunch of experiments, things don't end well. And that's exactly what happened with the Great Leap Forward. Through and through, 110%. And the kicker of all of this, is Mao still stayed in power. He did allocate some of the powers out because clearly having all the power wasn't working because this was entirely his fault. But he never got canceled. He was allowed to remain in power until somebody else came along. Sad. Absolutely sad. Wah. Alrighty, we're going to take another quickie break, and we'll be right back after this commercial break.
Please check out the Barefoot is Legal radio show right here on Saturdays, 1:30 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, that is 10:30 a.m. to noon Pacific Time, as we show you all about your barefoot rights and living a barefoot lifestyle. And for more information about the 501c3 nonprofit Barefoot is Legal, please check out barefootislegal.org.
Paul, where is your letter of recommendation?
Pete, the Corinthians hearts are my letter.
Paul, that is utter bull malarkey. Daniel 11:32-36 warned us of the one who will deceive with flatteries, saying that we are free from the law. There is a Freedomizer broadcast called Everlasting Covenant Study Free from Paul. It airs from noon to 3 p.m. Pacific, 1 to 4 Mountain, and 2 to 5 Central every Saturday. Join Rachel Hodge 3 to 6 Eastern Saturdays by calling 319-527-6208.
I will not call 319-527-6208, crafty fellow that I am. I should have caught her with trickery.
No chance, Paul. Everlasting Covenant Study Free from Paul airs noon to 3 Pacific on Saturdays.
Do you buy from Amazon? If you do, do you use Amazon Smile? Amazon Smile is a program Jeff Bezos set up to donate to 501c3 nonprofits. If you go to smile.amazon.com and designate Barefoot as Legal as your nonprofit, Jeff Bezos donates 0.5% of your purchase price to our charity. We need your support to fund our operations and promote the barefoot lifestyle. It does not cost you anything. Please consider helping us out. Go to smile.amazon.com and add Barefoot is Legal as your favorite nonprofit and help us fight for freedom. Thank you. I want to tell everyone about the 501c3 nonprofit Barefoot is Legal. Flip-flops are the most worn shoe. Even in America, almost everyone wears cheap flip-flops during the summer, sometimes even all year long. It's because they don't want to wear shoes, but there is 60 years of social stigma to overcome. Most people think it is illegal to drive a car, go to a store, or eat in public without shoes on. The fact is, there are zero laws, health department stuff, insurance regulations, etc., about going barefoot. Not only that, it is actually safer and more healthy to go barefoot than wear most shoes that we have been wearing for the last half century. Please check out the website barefootislegal.org and check out all of our social media. Going barefoot is safe, healthy, and legal. Barefootislegal.org.
Hello everybody, we are back on Open World and we spent some time talking about the Great Leap Forward. I think I'll take some time in the future and make an in-depth discovery on the Hall of the Moor, the residential schools, and the Great Leap Forward. I think those are really necessary, so stay tuned for those in the future while we'll be sitting down and actually looking in-depth into these disastrous, catastrophic death slavery camp brought forth by the government of Russia, China, and Canada. Believe it or not, Canada is just as guilty in these things. And I want to turn your attention to, because I was talking before about Bill C-11, and apparently Margaret Atwood is being criticized for criticizing Bill C-11. Margaret Atwood, the woman who wrote these dystopian literatures, The Handmaid's Tale. If you watch TV, you've probably seen The Handmaid's Tale. And the fact that she's criticizing Bill C-11 and people are criticizing her just goes to show how separated people are when it comes to reality, saying that she has no idea what she's talking about when literally she's gotten famous for writing like dystopian literature about this kind of shit. Okay, so why is Margaret Atwood, why are Margaret Atwood, is right to P11, and what the backlash pieces about the risks of challenging government policy? And this is by Michael Geis. Written on February 8, 2023. Margaret Atwood, a famed Canadian author, has been the target of a predictable backlash for her comments criticizing Bill C-11. Your comments, which came out in the aftermath of Senator David Adams Richard's forceful denunciation of the bill on the Senate floor, described the bill as well-meaning but expressed concern about the uncertainty over how it will be interpreted. The role of government officials in determining what counts as Canadian and the secretary associated with the CRTC. The reaction that has led to columnists suggesting she's speaking nonsense and one writer group calling her comments misguided and uninformed. Margaret Atwood, out of all the people, Margaret Atwood. Yet the reality is that Atwood's comments are consistent with long-standing criticism raised by many stakeholders. So why the backlash? Take each of the three key points Atwood raises. First, that there is uncertainty about how the bill will be implemented has literally been a source of concern from the first day that Bill C-10, the predecessor to Bill C-11, was introduced. My post that day focused primarily on the uncertainty associated with a bill that failed to define many key terms, did not contain thresholds, and left much of the decision-making to the CRTC. More than 2 years later, not much has changed. The Globe ran a story on the uncertainty for streaming services just last week, and digital-first creators have been raising alarm bells about how CRTC regulatory powers could be interpreted for months. The government consistently rejected attempts to provide greater clarity with the bill and insisted that its forthcoming policy direction be kept secret until after the bill received royal assent. If there is criticism to bear about Bill C-11's uncertainty, it should be directed in the direction of Heritage Minister Pablo Rodriguez, not Margaret Atwood. Second, the concerns about what counts as Canadian has attracted enormous attention, particularly in light of the House version of Bill C-11 applying to user content. That raised the question of how to define what counts as Canadian among YouTubers, TikTokers, podcasters, and millions of other Canadians whose content couldn't be caught up by the legislation. Atwood and Richards are again absolutely right to raise the concern about the risks associated with governments determining what counts and what doesn't, which by virtue of discoverability rules in the bill, turns into what content may be prioritized and what content gets deprioritized. Creators should be uncomfortable with those risks, and it is shameful that so many have remained silent on the issue. Third, I would not have thought that concerns about the CRTC would be particularly controversial. In fact, on the same day that Atwood's article appeared in the Globe, Canadian Heritage Minister Pablo Rodriguez and Industry Minister Francois Champagne wrote to new CRTC Chair Vicky Eatride to acknowledge that public confidence and trust in the CRTC has waned in recent years and to urge greater transparency in its decision-making process. No shit. Given that Atwood's comments are consistent with public debate about Bill C-11, why the harsh criticism? Some of it might stem from perceived overreach in the framing of Senator Richard's speech and Atwood's references to Soviet-style censorship. There are serious problems with the bill, but this is not Stalin's Russia or Nazi Germany. Some may arise from fear from bill supporters that prominent creators are also speaking out against it as they remain silent. But perhaps notable is that many creators have been facing this backlash for months with respect to public engagement on Bill C-11, and has been widely reported when Indigenous creators met with officials in Rodriguez's office to discuss their concerns with the bill last fall. They walked away feeling intimidated and gaslit. The creators noted they were fearful of ever speaking to the government again. The incident involving Indigenous creators was not an outlier. Some of Canada's most successful digital creators were ignored by Rodriguez, while others have reported similar hostility from officials. Who repeatedly dismissed their concerns as misinformation. In fact, some Liberal MPs on the Standing Committee on Canadian Heritage even sought a lobbyist commissioner investigation of one of the bill's critics. The investigation was swiftly terminated as being without merit, but investigating your critics is precisely the kind of government action that echoes the fears of Atwood and Richards. That is the real warning from the legislative journey of Bill C-11, where efforts to speak out were met with months of gaslighting from the minister and disinterest or worse from MPs. It took independent senators such as Simon, Mayville, Duchin to finally craft a solution. You will soon hear whether the government is open to fixing the bill or insists on regulating user content and doing so ignores the concerns and warnings of creators that range from Indigenous TikTokers to some of Canada's best-known authors, regardless of the decision. The message that criticism of government cultural policy is unwelcome has been heard loud and clear, which makes Atwood's warning all the more essential. You know what? How do you email this guy? I want to know, how do I get in contact with this guy? Email. I am going to email this guy because I am going to read you guys. Oh, that's the default label. How do I get Michael Dice? I want to read something to you guys. Okay. And you're going to want to sit the hell down, and you're going to want to pay attention to what I'm about to read you. I just read this to the Proof Negative show last night, and it hit everybody on the floor. It's every single individual out there needs to see. Yeah, this. I'm a law professor at the University of Ottawa, where I hold the Canada Research Chair in Internet and E-Commerce Law. My current contact information is from, yeah, you know what? I'm going to email this guy after I'm done my radio show tonight, and I'm going to send him an email, and I'm going to show him this article right here, because every single Canadian, every single one needs to see this article. And I don't think Michael Geist has. I don't think the overwhelming majority of Canadians have. And I am trying to share this with you guys because you guys need to hear this. Little child beats GST lawsuit. Actually, I'm just going to go Google the whole article instead of reading the screenshot. Beat GST lawsuit. All right. So you guys better be sitting down. I'm going to read you this whole article. Wetaskiwin anti-GST voters have lost their court case against Native MP Willie Littlechild. Plaintiff Aaron Wall of Rimby says he doesn't consider the failed lawsuit a loss. We learned something, and that there is something wrong with the system. Wall, along with seven other anti-GST constituents, filed a lawsuit against Littlechild, Canada's first Native MP, after he voted in favor of the GST. They say he failed in his duty to consult with and account to his constituents to adequately represent their majority views against GST. Justice E.A. Marshall of the Court of Queen's Bench ruled the court can't compel MPs to be accountable to their constituents. They have no legal requirement to consult with voters. They are accountable to Parliament. Wall, a Rimby dairy farmer, said she hopes the case will make other citizens speak out and change the system. It's not the parties. It's the system that forces us to choose our dictators. Marshall awarded $200 in damages and costs to Littlechild, who could not be reached for comment. Wall says she will accept the ruling but is still waiting for Littlechild to explain why he voted for the GST when 1,200 of us opposed it. Wall's community of 1,700 recently slapped Littlechild with a 1,200-name petition outlining their refection of the GST. If he goes against us, He'd better explain why, says Walt. Little Child says he's willing to meet publicly with concerned Riding residents. Now, I'm going to go find the actual document here. Hold on. Yeah. Here we go. Okay, I'm going to read the most relevant part, so this is a little bit of a read here. Okay. Here we go. It appears that the action is a claim of a breach of duty on the part of the MP of the plaintiff. It seems clear on the authorities, and I note in Rorman Corporation, which has been cited, that if I have any doubt on this application as to whether the plaintiffs have a cause of action, I must give the benefit of that doubt to the plaintiffs and refuse the application and leave the matter to be decided at a trial. However, I am satisfied the plaintiffs have no cause of action against the defendant. I know of no legal duty on an elected representative at any level of government to consult with his constituents or determine their views. While such an obligation may generally be considered desirable, there is no legal requirement. I adopt the quotation from the trial on the Roman case where he said, "It is of the essence of our parliament system of government that our elected representatives should be able to perform their duties courageously and resolutely in what they consider to be the best interests of Canada, free from any worry of being called to account anywhere except in Parliament." So it appears to me the only remedy existing for plaintiffs is the remedy provided in our Constitution in the right to vote in a future election. I note also that the prayer for relief gives some difficulty. They request an order of the court recalling the defendant to account to the plaintiffs in his constituency for his actions in Parliament. I would be inclined to strike the statement of claim on that paragraph as well, but I note they do make a prayer for such other relief as the court shall deem just, which probably is general enough that the action could not be struck out from the account alone. So I am satisfied that no court can compel the defendant to account to his constituents and just show you what really occurs in this application. Right there in black and white, you can find this on the mythoscanada.com. It's the document called The People versus Jay Wilson Little Child. Right there in black and white, you are being told that the government does not have to listen to you. It's black and white, folks. You can whine and cry and bitch and moan all day long. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. Whether you like it or not, your government does not have to listen to you at all. We're going to take another quickie break, and we're going to be right back after the commercial to kind of dive a little more deeper into this, I think, with the Control Ownership and Determination Act. So we'll be right back.
I've heard stories from teachers in classes where their students are grounded that they have half the level of referrals for discipline. Some students who were in tears because they were experiencing success when before they were experiencing failure with their behavior and discipline. I've heard stories from teachers with autistic children who have been grounded where they have less of what they call the meltdowns. And the meltdowns are less frequent and shorter, and they come back into the classroom and they're learning more than they had learned prior to the grounding. It's amazing what happens, not just with the teacher at the front of the class, but what can happen with the student sitting in the class. And just think, if every single student and every single teacher and every single classroom and every single school across this whole world was grounded.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
We all know that times are tough and things are really expensive right now, so why not save a little bit of your wallet as well as the landfill? Marti.com carries high-quality products at low, low prices, sometimes up to 70% off of retail. I just got a wonderful package of beef jerky for 1 cent sent to my house through Marti.com. Marti.com offers high-quality products at discount prices. Why? Well, sometimes products are seasonal or overstocked, or packaging just changes. It's still great quality food, but it's going to end up in the landfill if we don't find some way to distribute it. And leave that to Marti.com. Now, if you want to save a little extra today, you can get $20 off your first order by going to our Facebook group for Dynamic Word Bible Studies and picking up a discount code there. So check out Dynamic Word Bible Studies at Facebook and find Marti.com on our comments. You'll be able to get this free discount code. It's going to give you $20 off, and it's also a great way to support our show and to keep those landfills light and to save some money in your wallet. And I'm all about saving money. So check out Marti.com.
Hello, everyone. I am Broccoli Man. At night, I fight for organic GMO-free food. During the day, I fight crime against child trafficking. Please watch my story on Rumble.com. Just look up Broccoli Man and you can see my regular run-ins and follies with G-Lobalist, The Wiretap, The Millennials, and everyone else I run into. I fight communists and very pro-free speech. Just check me out. Broccoli Man. On Rumble.com.
Most people say they hate wearing shoes and would go barefoot if they knew they were allowed. People say it all the time on their social medias. But they are worried that someone will say something to them. So everyone wears the cheapest flip-flops with the least amount of fabric on them. Most people do not even know that it's completely 100% legal to go barefoot into a store. Most people think that driving barefoot is illegal, but it isn't. Driving barefoot actually is safer than wearing most shoes. Going outside barefoot for a walk is one of the healthiest things you could do, but most people are afraid someone will say something. Or they quote the myths and the rumors that their grandma told them years ago. The fact is, there are no laws against driving a car, going to a store, or eating in a restaurant barefoot. So don't give in to bad fashion, hurt heels, or a broken flip-flop. For more information, please check out barefootislegal.org or find us on your favorite social media.
Peace, what's up, y'all? This is Ninja Scroll. Check out my newest album, Renewed Mind, with songs like this. Solve Coagula.
Solve Coagula. Tear down and rebuild the whole system. Vibra prophecy fulfilled.
Snakes in the grass.
In center position. We got snakes in the grass. Rally through the high pass. Traps all laid out. Avoid the bomb blast.
I got ya.
I got ya right where I want ya. Like a raw lion in the field, I stalked ya. Creeped up on ya, peeped on your aura. Laying in wait, ready to pounce on ya. Once I get ya, you'll be a goner.
Can you hear me now?
Hey, just all part of the game.
Ain't this even so long now? It's time to open up your eyes. Look at how you're living, just to follow the world with Satan.
And the new norms, the new world order. Yeah, go get yours right now at officialninjascroll.web.com. That's official, ninjascroll.web.com.
Trying to show you everything, but you ain't care. Got you running scared, it's fear that is the main weapon. Peace to the people that was always prepping. I'm stepping on toes trying to wake you up.
Looking for something different? Looking for something fun? Join Dan every Monday on the Freedomizer Network, 9 to 10:30 Pacific, noon to 1:30 Eastern, for Common Sense with the Educated Redneck, Dan Ellison. The show about everything and nothing at all.
Everybody, we are back on Open World, and we just kind of went into the commercial talking about the Wetaskiwin little child case and how your government doesn't actually have to listen to you. This is a common theme that I hear among Canadians over and over and over and over again, that they go to their MPs with a concern and their MPs aren't listening and they're sloughing them off and they just do what they want to do anyway. This is why, you guys, this entire system has been set up where they don't have to listen to you. It couldn't be any more clear and black and white. And in fact, I'm going to take you to an extra step, and I'm going to show you the Canadian Ownership and Control Determination Act that you all really need to look at. If you're listening, even if you're not Canadian, if you've got Canadian friends, I strongly suggest that you take a look at this act because this one is an absolute doozy. It is legalized slavery. It's bad enough that you have a birth certificate and everything that you have with the government. This just takes it one step further, and it is literally legalized slavery. In fact, a friend of mine who interviewed the guy who had wrote this legislation for the government actually quit his job after this went into effect because of how dirty he felt bringing this forward. Now, when you take a look at this, you can find this on, you know, the Justice Laws website, laws-lois.justice.dc.ca. Short title, this is cited as the Canadian Ownership and Control Determination Act. Interpretation, certificate means certificate issued by the minister under this act. Control status means with respect to a person, whether or not the person is Canadian controlled as determined under this act and regulations. Like, when you start looking at the definitions here, here's one. Minister means the Minister of Natural Resources. Okay, next one, owned. Owned means subject to the regulations, beneficially owned, and the words owner and ownership have corresponding meanings. Person means an individual, a corporation, a partnership, a trust, a government, an agency of government, a segregated fund within the meaning of the regulations, and an organization that is prescribed as being a person or that falls into a class of organizations prescribed as being persons. You see that? An individual corporation. Like, holy fucking shit, you guys. That's pretty freaking intense. An individual. You scroll down a little further, then you have things like qualified applicants who may apply. The following are qualified to apply for a certificate. So this legislation allows you to apply for a certificate. You notice when you actually read this legislation that it doesn't say what kind of certificate. It just says a certificate. Certificate means a certificate issued by the minister under this act. And I've heard people say that, oh, well, this is just the BCB for corporations. Guess what, motherfuckers? Here, let me take you over to the Interpretation Act in Canada. You're going to fucking excuse my language tonight, but holy smoke. Interpretation Act of Canada. Crap your pants, read this one. We're going over to the Interpretation Act of Canada. And this act tells you how to interpret all of Canadian legislation. Let me take you over to the definition. Let me take you over to the definition. Are you listening? Sit down and listen to this one. Canada, in the Interpretation Act of Canada, again, this is the legislation that tells you how to interpret all of Canadian legislation unless in the legislation itself it defines otherwise. Canada, for greatest certainty, includes the internal waters of Canada and the territorial sea. Boy, that sounds pretty interesting, hey? Oh, yeah, well, check this out. We're going to go to the next page here. Include. Pay attention to that word, include. Hold on, I gotta find that section here. Whoa. Okay, there's another section I'm gonna have to read after, because this is blowing my mind a little bit. Anyway, we're gonna come back to the in way you interpret the word include. Internal waters, in relation to Canada, means the internal waters of Canada as determined under the Oceans Act, and includes the airspace above and the bed and subsoil below those waters. Okay? So everything within the water. Means the waters of the landward side of baselines of the territorial sea of other states. So we're just talking about the water here. Here, we're going to go down a little further, deep. Where's the word persons? Person. Here we go. Person, according to the Interpretation Act of Canada, or any word or expression descriptive of a person includes a corporation. You heard that. Okay, so Canada includes the waters, and person includes corporation. You know, I'm just trying to find these sections here where it talks about. Hold on here. Give me one second. Where do I find the application? Give me one. Operation. Definition. Demise of the crown. Has to be interpreted. Short title. One second. Nope. That's back to definition. Back to interpretation. Where is that specific key? It's been so long since I've looked at this. It's probably been like a year because I used to be able to have this all at the click of a key, and it's been so long. Quorum, but powers, clear day, miscellaneous rules, definitions, we're back to the definitions again. Hold on here. We'll go references and citations, demise of the crown. I'm going to have to take a looky at that later because that. Huh. Hold on here. Interpretation as plural singular. I want to find a phrase. Here we go. Okay, this specific section that we're looking for is subsection 33.2. So we're going to go back here into the legislation. If only I could do this like live, this would be really nice. 33, so we're looking for 3 miscellaneous rules. We're going to go into miscellaneous rules, scrolling section to 33 subsection 2 here. Okay, so going back, sorry for the pause here, guys. I was just looking for this specific section. So I read to you that the person includes the corporation and the Canadian and Canada, it includes the waters. So let me read to you Section 33-2, number. Words in the singular include the plural, and words in the plural include. So in other words, anything that is singular is plural, and anything that is plural is singular. Interesting to note that the person includes the corporation. Canada includes the waters. Do you get what I'm telling you? If you didn't understand what I'm telling you, understand, stand under. If you didn't comprehend, understand what I just told you, that the Interpretation Act of Canada just told you that when you talk about a person, you're talking about a corporation. When you're talking about Canada, you're talking about the waters. So why would person include an individual when there is no definition in the Interpretation of Act of Canada as an individual? You guys really need to sit down and actually read some of this legislation here under the Canadian Control Determination Act. It's like I said, it's a real doozy. I mean, here's subsection 5, or there's 5, subsection 1, Canadian ownership rate and control status determination. This is number 5.1, applications. Every applicant shall be filed in the prescribed form and manner and shall contain or be accompanied by this prescribed information and documentation, and for the purposes of the application, the Canadian ownership rate and control status of a person shall be determined in accordance with this act and regulation. Again, a person as listed in the Interpretation Act is a corporation. Here it is being told, you are being told that the ownership rate and control status shall be determined in accordance with this act and the regulations. Control status, subject to any regulations made under paragraph 20F or D, a person is a Canadian controlled if that person is not a non-eligible person and is not Canadian controlled if that person is non-eligible. Like, number five, like, that should just make your jaw hit the floor. Like, that should make your jaw hit the floor. Qualified applicants, number 4, who may apply. The following are qualified to apply for a certificate. An individual other than a non-eligible person, a corporation incorporated in Canada. A partnership, if the relationship among the partners is as governed by the laws of a province, a trustee in respect of a trust, if the trustee and beneficiaries are, with respect to their status as such, governed by the laws of a province, the insurance company incorporated in Canada in respect of any of its segregated funds is in the meaning of the regulation, and any person prescribed as being qualified to apply for a certificate or who falls into a class of persons prescribed as being qualified to apply for a certificate. That's pretty intense, you guys. That's pretty freaking intense. Definition of a non-eligible person. For the person or purposes of this act, the expression non-eligible person has the same meaning as it has under subsection 3.1 of the Foreign Investment Review Act, Chapter 46, Canada, 1972 to 1974, and regulations made pursuant to this act with such modifications as the circumstances require, except that until September 1st, 1987, the definition of non-eligible person in subsection 3.1 of that act shall be read as subparagraph blah-blah-blah. Subsection 3.5 of that act shall read as if the words "and permanent residents who have become ordinarily resident in Canada for more than 1 year after time which they became first became eligible to apply for Canadian citizenship. You know what? Let's just pop over there. I'm curious to see. Oh, it's not opening me. The hyperlink. Oh, heck. So, that's kind of a big deal. My internet keeps popping in and out tonight. But, yeah, y'all really need to take a look at that. Like, I cannot say this clearly and loudly enough that if you are Canadian, you need to know about that court case and you need to know about the Interpretation Act, especially if you're trying to get out of the system with privatizing your status and all these other things. You need to know about these things through and through. Like, I'm sitting here saying it over and over and over again, but this is the only way it's actually going to stick, is if there's repetition happening here. This is a manipulation tactic that, you know, you have to say these things over and over again in order for these things to be able to stick. So I think I'm going to pop out a little bit early tonight. I've got a lot. I've got to get to bed here right away. Normally, this isn't a big deal, but I've got a bunch of stuff I got to get done tomorrow, so I got to get to bed a little earlier. And I'm going to pop out an hour early tonight. So love your faces, and I will see you guys again next Friday. Have a very super happy fun time Friday, and I'll catch you later. Bye-bye.